You know, as I travel and speak and get to meet a lot of young people, one of the things I love doing is asking them what they want to do in life. And most of them, unfortunately, saying, I don't know. And it becomes the standard answer. I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. It's like, no kidding. You don't have any idea? Well, maybe. And I think, man, that sounds terrible. That sounds like you're all ready for a boring life. You know, God created us in a very special way, and He didn't create us to remain potentially wonderful. At your age, at a young age right now, potential is a very good word, but when you get to be my age, it's a wasted life. What we want to be able to do is be able to see the young people that are here this year begin to dig in and do what they need to do to thrive. That's going to be the theme for me this year, for our teachers, for our MBIU, to thrive, not just survive. We want to thrive. And there's certain things you have to do in order to thrive, and that's what I want to talk to you about here at the beginning. I'm not sure if you enjoy riddles, but throughout the Bible, there's many times where God asks a riddle. Or Jesus asks a question that seems like easy to answer, maybe. But He's trying to come across with a point. And in Ezekiel, it's kind of interesting. In Ezekiel chapter 17, there's a parable of two eagles and a vine. And it really is a riddle. And it says, Son of man, propound a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel. Let's give them a riddle, shall we, to try and understand something? Because they're not understanding something, so I want to make it clear, and I'm going to do it with a question. It has been planted on good soil by abundant waters, that it might produce branches and bear fruit and become a noble vine. Say, thus says the Lord God, will it thrive? Now, you can't get much out of that yet because I didn't give you the context. But in Ezekiel chapter 17, I'm going to read some of it to you. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man. Propound a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God. A great eagle with wings and long pinions, rich in plumage, of many colors, came to Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. He broke off the topmost of its young twigs and carried it to a land of trade and set it in a city of merchants. Now, this is part of the riddle, so you got to stay with me. Then he took of the seed and of the land and planted it in fertile soil. He placed it beside abundant waters. He set it like a willow twig, and it sprouted and became a low-spreading vine. And its branches turned toward him, and its roots remained where it stood. So it became a vine and produced branches and put out boughs. And there was another great eagle, two eagles, with great wings and much plumage. And behold, this vine bent its roots towards him and shot forth its branches towards him from the bed where it was planted, that he might water it. It had been planted on good soil by the abundant waters, that it might produce branches and bear fruit and become a noble vine. He was planted in good soil. What happened? The two eagles that are mentioned here are two different kings, the Nebuchadnezzar being one, king of Egypt being the other. It's kind of interesting what happened. You see, people began to trust in somebody other than God. And the real question, the basic question, because I'm not going to go through the whole passage with you and tear it apart, but the basic question is very simple. The people began to trust in something other than God. They began to trust in a king. Can they thrive when they do that? That was the question. Can you thrive when you trust in something other than God? Is it possible? Now, God's asking this question, knowing the answer. If you are in my class, you know that I don't have much class participation, but I ask a lot of questions that I don't expect you to answer except for in your head. And God knew the answer to this one. And anybody who thinks about it for a second knows the answer to this one. You can't thrive if you're not connected to God. You can't thrive if you trust in money. You can't thrive if you trust in your health. You can't thrive if you try and live your life the way it wasn't meant to be. God made us a certain way, and He made us to be intimate with Him. And if we choose not to be intimate with Him, if we choose to get our security from anything other than Him, can we thrive in that environment? See, that's the question. Will He thrive? Can one escape who does such things? Can He break the covenant and yet escape? See, the riddle gets deeper. Can somebody actually live that way and thrive? The answer is so obvious to anyone who understands Scripture and God. No. But we don't want to ask those questions. We want to believe that we got to pull ourselves up our own bootstraps. We've got to be the people that you know, we're going to make ourselves into. Really? If you trust in something other than God, can you thrive? Will it even be possible? Then the word of the Lord in the 11th verse came to me, "Say now to the rebellious house, do you not know what these things mean? Do you not understand the consequences, really, of not putting your trust in God? About putting it in a king? Putting it in an army? Oh, you know what? On the surface, it looks like you better look out for that army and that king. But I'm telling you something. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember those dudes? Remember that? Oh, yeah. Let's just stand and see what the king can do. We're not afraid of you, king. Why? Because you have no power. See, they understood something, didn't they? You know, one of the interesting things in my life, the thing that really got me going in Scripture years ago was that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I had to figure out, what did these guys really know? I mean, they were willing to walk to a furnace. That's what they were willing to do. And half the time, I'm not willing to be inconvenienced. So there's a big difference. What did they know? I need to know what those guys knew. Because in order to thrive, I need to know what they knew. I don't need to know what Oprah knows. I don't need to know that. I need to know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew. That's what I need to know. I need to understand what the people who understood God knew. So I'm going to spend time with them because they thrive, both in this life. Do you know how cool of a life Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had? Or Daniel? Or those guys, Noah, let's build a boat in a mountain. That makes sense. Say now to that rebellious house, do you not know what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem. He explains to two kings in the riddle. The question I have for our class this year is, do we really want God? You know, a lot of times you grow up and you know all the lip service stuff, you know what you need to do. And the truth of the matter is, deep down in our hearts, do we really want Him? Do we really want to be close to Him? There's no way to thrive apart from that. There's absolutely no way to thrive in life. You're going to just exist. Can you imagine? I would challenge you, go through the Bible as you go through it in Steve's class this year, you know. Go through it and look at the exciting lives of those who actually listened to God and trusted in Him. I mean, Noah's life was not boring. It may have been hard. Boring, no. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel. Moses. I mean, it wasn't boring. Sure, 40 years of it was, sitting there watching sheep for a while. But after that, it wasn't boring. See, God didn't mean us to just exist. It's interesting, you talk to people and you say, how you doing? Well, I'm just trying to keep busy. Really? You're trying to keep busy? That's not thriving. People who thrive, they get up and they get excited about the fact that the Almighty God loves them and that today they got a day in front of them that He will use them to do something. They look for what He's going to do. Do we really want to live healthy lives? See, that's another question. Do we want to be healthy? I'm not talking just physically, but physically, spiritually, emotionally, do we want to be healthy? You know, it reminds me of another story. Again, Jesus and His stories. Now, do you remember the story in John chapter 5? There's a man laying at the side of the pool of Bethesda, and he couldn't walk. And Jesus asked him like this no-brainer question, at least as far as I'm concerned, it's a no-brainer question. Verse 6 in John chapter 5 said, when Jesus saw him lying there, knew he had been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? I'm thinking, oh, come on, come on. What kind of question is that? Guy's been sitting there for 30-some years. Does he want to be healed? But I thought, good question. Because you know what matters? If he gets healed, his whole life is different. All of his friends are different. All of his, where he goes, what he does. What he does every day is different. Maybe that wasn't such a dumb question. Maybe what Jesus was really saying is, you know what? Do you really want to get better? Because if you want to get better, you're not going to come back to this pool. You know how many young people I've seen through the years that honestly, I honestly think they don't want to live healthy lives? They're used to laying by the pool, and they're used to their friends, and they're used to the lifestyle, and they don't want to get better. They want to stay that way. And then they blame the church, and they blame people, and they blame whoever. I mean, I can picture this guy on the side. Well, I was born this way. I'll never get out of it. I'll always be this way. There's no way out of it. And Jesus comes and says, you want a way out of it? And then he had to think for a minute. I don't know. Do I really want a way out of this? When Jesus healed him, it'd be really weird if he came back there and laid the next day. He wouldn't need to do that anymore. It's really weird sometimes how we become believers and we go back and lay by the pool. And we wonder, man, I can't get, you know, I don't know, life isn't all that exciting. And I don't know, man, I'm just laying by the pool. Who said you had to lay by the pool anymore? Yeah, well, that's where all my friends are. That's where I know how to live. That's where my style is, man. This is how I live. You don't understand. This is how I live. We'll live differently. How about that? Oh, rule maker, huh? No, logic maker. You just got healed. Why don't you live like it? See, when you know Christ, if you really know him, you need to live like it or you can't thrive. You can't go to the king of Egypt and trust in him. You can't go to money and trust in him. You can't go to your health or popularity and trust in that stuff. You need to go to him. And he changes everything about your life. And you need to be willing to change everything about your life in that relationship. You know, and relationships are kind of interesting. If I were just to give you a bunch of rules, that wouldn't be good. But within relationships, I can give you rules. That's good. In other words, I've been married many years. There's rules. I'm not going to take any single women out to eat, any women out to eat without my wife there by ourselves. Not going to do it. That's a rule. You say, you legalist. No, I have a relationship. The relationship I have dictates what I do. It's not legalism. It's wisdom. There's a big difference. Now, if I were to give all the young single guys here the same rule, I don't want you ever going, you know, talk to a single girl by yourself. It's like, you go, huh? See, you don't have the relationship. So that rule that I have may not apply to you. But within the relationship, it applies. And if you want to thrive, but you want to do it apart from God, it will not work, I promise. What I have found is if you're going to thrive, there's different plateaus. First, you got to get planted. You got to be a real believer. You have to be one who understands the love of Christ and respond to his grace, his mercy, his offer of Jesus Christ being your payment for the sin and being in God's family. See, that's where it starts. It's the birth. It's your Christian birth. It's being reborn. The second, as you seek and obey, this is what NBI is about. You know, if you don't seek God while you're here at NBI, you're not going to find one no matter how many teachers throw stuff at you. No matter what the environment is here, if you decide you're not going to seek God, then you're not going to find him. However, if you decide to seek him, you will find him even if I'm the worst teacher in the world. Because God uses donkeys. You see, you need to decide to seek him. And if you decide to seek him, you'll find them. But not just seek them. There are many people today who find the Bible, they read it, they study it, they know what it says, they'll argue doctrine, but they don't love God. They don't obey what it says. What good is it to know this stuff? What good is it to know how to eat right and then not eat right? What good is it to know that you should exercise and don't do it? What good is it to know stuff that you don't use? See, if you want to thrive, it starts with becoming a part of God's family. And then you have to decide you're actually going to seek God and obey him. And as you do that, you begin to reproduce the fruit. And the fruit's automatic. You don't try for that. You know, a little tree planted or tomato planted, all of a sudden there's tomatoes and apples or whatever's on it. Why? Because it absorbed all the right stuff, and all of a sudden it's there. And that's what we look for. What we want to do this year is really head in what we call a true north direction. In this room, if I took out a compass, I could take it out and it would show north, and it probably would be north, but being from a Chicago public school and friends with those in Minnesota, I don't know where north is, really. But I'm sorry, you're in for it now all year. North is that way, I believe. True north is somewhere. It's somewhere. See, in this room, if I took a compass out, I'd have magnetic north. Because there's a lot of magnet stuff around here. Metal, things that affect the compass. But there is a true north. And you know, students, as you're here this year, I want you to try and differentiate between that magnetic north that you've been on and the true north that you should be on. Because at this stage in your life, if you're just a little bit off, if you're headed north, but you're just a little bit off, by the time you get my age, you're a lot off. So what you want to do is you want to get rid of all of those environmental things that affect that compass. You want to get rid of it. You want to dial in on what true north really looks like. And in that, you want to hold, and you will thrive as you do that. This year, we have a song every year that I give to your class, and this year it is the song Thrive. I'm going to play it for you, and then I will pray after that. But I want you to listen to the words of the song Thrive. And throughout the year, I would love for you, as you hear that song, to go through your head and ask the questions that we just talked about here. What is it really that you're trusting in? Who is it you're trusting in? What is it you're going to do while you're here this year? Is it really that you will seek God? Or are you not going to seek Him? Do you really want to grow? Do you really want to thrive? See, growth demands change. I know you've probably heard that and thought about it a little bit, but there is no possible way that you can grow and remain the same. You need to be willing to be different than you are today. Now, wouldn't it be great if I gave you a prescription? I knew exactly what that meant. I don't. Probably hardly anyone does, except for God. See, that's why it's safe to seek Him, because He will take you and put you true north as you obey Him. He'll do that. But not if you're trusting in self, not if you don't meet with Him, not if you're not seeking Him. See, the stuff that will cause you not to thrive are things you need to decide you can live without. This has got to be a year where you say, this is a year of my life where I'm dedicating myself to really seeking God, to really listening to Him, to changing as God wants to change me, so that in my life, I have one that I trust, and that is God. It isn't my ability, it's not my money, it's not my talents, it's not my family, it's not my heritage, it's not my church, it's God. I really hope at the end of the year that the potential that you came here with is something that begins to realize itself. And that by the time you're my age, you get to look back and understand a life well lived rather than a life where you still say, but I had potential. I have potential. You do. But it is time now to start turning the potential into reality. And that will be our goal together. We will work at moving potential into reality. Because I can promise you this, God didn't make any mistake in creating you. He didn't make any mistake in your personality. He didn't make any mistake in your life. It is time for you to come to Him and exclusively give Him the place that He needs to have. And watch God begin to let you thrive in this world. It doesn't mean that things will be comfortable. I didn't say that. I said thrive. Purposeful, significant, secure. Yes, that comes from God. And it could be a part of your life. Let me play the song for you. You can just listen to it.